All right, I'm Adam Rappaport, and this is the Bon Appetit Foodcast. This week, we have on two guests who I've been trying to have on for like literally 2 years now. Jody Williams and Rita Sodi. They are the chef owners of Via Carota, Bouvette, and Isodi here in New York City, as well as the forthcoming Bar Pisalino. For those of you who don't live in New York, who have never been to any of Jody or Rita's restaurants, though for what it's worth, there's also a Bouvette in Paris and one in Tokyo. Let me just explain a bit. First of all, they are partners in both life and business. And Jody and Rita have kind of, they've mastered the art of the perfect neighborhood restaurant. Ones that feel both homey and cozy with perfectly executed food. It's just a wonderful experience. And every time you go, you're like, I'm going to come back. And that's exactly what you do. This week, I talked to both of them about how they do what they do so well every single time. All right, let's do this. Here are Jody and Rita.
You had coffee with,
yeah,
13 grams of sugar and...
No, 22.
22 grams of sugar.
Yeah. No, 19.
19.
This morning, 19.
19,
and 300 grams of coffee.
What kind of coffee?
Supreme, French Roast, Supreme something, Melnotti.
Are you like an espresso machine or like
No. It's a French press.
French press.
Yeah.
Freshly ground and weighed each morning?
Not really. Stay in the fridge.
But when do you weigh it?
No, I don't weigh the coffee, the ground coffee. I weigh the made coffee already. I make my cup with, I want to be sure that there is perfect sugar for the amount of coffee. Then I put in my, so I weigh the sugar and after I weigh the
coffee. Wait, remember we talked about don't hit the table?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I thought Rita would not be the one who hits the table.
Oh, no, I'm Italian. I'm talking with my hand.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
You measure the coffee.
I measure the coffee.
And you weigh the sugar.
And I weigh the sugar.
And we use McNulty's, but you got tons of samples on the counter stacked up to try,
yeah,
by the way. Feel free to taste through them.
So, guys, we are actually recording right now,
just to
let you know. So you guys are partners, both business-wise and in a relationship. So you're at home doing this, or are you at...
You're
the one in the restaurant.
Yeah,
you're at home.
I'm home.
All right, so you guys have three restaurants in New York. You're about to open the fourth.
Right.
Pisalino?
Bar Pisalino.
Via Carota, you could literally throw a dinner roll and probably hit Bouvette. And then you have Isodi, which is 2 minutes away on Bleecker Street.
Yeah, I would say
less than two minutes.
Depends how fast you are.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you live 5 minutes from there.
2 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah, we live two blocks away from all the restaurants.
Okay, so doesn't this drive you insane? Like you guys live together, you work together, your restaurants are basically on top of each other, your house is right next to that. Like that would drive me crazy. But you guys seem pretty chill every time I see you.
Yeah, I think I will miss Jody if I don't see you every 5 minutes.
Aww.
Wow.
Jody, you're supposed to say, I would miss Rita. Jody's like, pause, ..
No, that's very sweet. I mean, it's a really unique situation. One, we're married. We're both chefs. We work together and live together and building restaurants, doing this life. So it goes for the most part really well.
But when you need your space, when you need some Jody time, what do you do?
Oh, well, I'm usually traveling to Bouvette Paris or Tokyo or working there. I mean, and Rita has Isodi. I mean, she's line cooks there, so we're both go our way, do our things, and then
that's interesting. So even though
regroup.
You're in business together, mm-hmm. you will probably day-to-day are spending a lot of your days not together, kind of working. Is that correct? Is that fair to say?
No. What do you think, Rita? We plan the morning. We plan the calendar. We work through things. Right now, we're in construction on a new project, so a lot of details we'll be working out together. And then we're sort of like, okay, there's an emergency. She goes that way. I'll go handle that one. Regroup. We're pretty much in contact and working on things. But I don't cook at Isodi. That's Rita's world, so... There are moments when we're also working apart, but supportive. You know, there's been emergencies where she's handled everything and I've been away or...
All right, so I want to get started. So Isotti has been around for over 10 years now. Bouvette opened...
I don't know, eight, seven?
Yes, you do.
No, I have to figure it out.
Eight years ago.
8 years ago?
Yeah.
Thank you, Rita.
Thanks.
And then you had this child together via Kuroda, which we'll get to in a minute. But first you met Rita at Isotti because you were curious about the restaurant. You had dinner there, but did you even know who this Rita person was? Or did you, let's be honest, did you go there because you wanted to meet her or did you just go there for dinner?
Well, there were one group of my friends were saying, you've got to meet this person. Have you met this person? And this is going on for months. I'm like, yes, no, I will. Whatever. It's so, and then from another.
Why were they saying that, do you think?
Because there was a hot chef over there cooking and I should go check it out.
But you should meet her professionally or you should meet her, you would like her.
You would like her. So one group of friends is like, you should go over there and see and meet this.
Rita's
see what's going on
right now.
And then from another group of friends and colleagues, you should go eat there. This is really good. And I didn't put them together.
Oh.
And so I'm not really paying attention to people telling me go meet
whatever. Gal, yeah.
And then, but I was curious to go find this restaurant and find time to go by. And I walked by, and it'd be closed. Or
also because she was thinking I was copying her.
No, I didn't think
she thought you were on her trail.
Yeah.
Why would she think that?
I don't know.
Maybe you do know.
Maybe.
Rita's being funny. We cook very similar. We cook a lot of the same dishes. We do that very traditional kind of, raw artichoke salad with Parmesan. So when I do it, it's raw artichoke salad with Parmesan and then she does it. And so we're both doing the same thing. So in that way, it was like very curious to, so I finally got to Isotti and I sat down there
dinner. This was before Bouvette opened?
This was before Bouvette opened.
Were you at Mirandi?
Yeah,
or?
I was at Mirandi. Okay, I was the chef at Mirandi.
Yeah, so you were doing Italian food also.
Right.
Like, this is my turf. I'm the West Village Italian chef. You worked at Giorgione and all these other places.
Yeah.
This is what I do. Who's this Rita person coming in here making raw artichoke salad?
Right.
Like me.
Yeah, like you. But beautiful menu, 9 things on it, exquisite restaurant. I was like, wow, this was great.
So you're sitting at the bar by yourself or did you bring a friend?
I don't act
like you don't remember.
No, and I have to be sure. I came with friends and then I said, I got this. I'll see you guys later. I made sure my friends didn't come to dinner with me anymore I could meet Rita.
So Rita, when you met Jody, were you like, who's this Jody person? Or you're like, that's the Jody I've been hearing about.
She had been eating in my restaurants too.
Yeah, but I didn't know her. I didn't know anything. I thought, I don't know the chef. And at that time, I knew very little about restaurant in New York and everything. I just arrived. I just opened this place and I was, trying to figure out how to run this place. That's what I'm
trying to figure out, because Jody here had been kind of a fixture of sort in the Italian restaurant scene in New York City, especially downtown of these places, Giorgione and Mirandi, Gusto.
Yeah, I think Gusto. Yeah, I was paying my rent.
Yeah. You show up from Italy. I don't mean this in a demeaning way, but you weren't even a chef. You were someone who had worked in fashion for a while. You grew up in Tuscany.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, where do you get off thinking you can come to New York City and open a restaurant?
I don't know.
So what was that first year like when you opened Isotti? Do you think the restaurant was good?
It was hard, but I didn't give up.
Why do you think it succeeded, Jody?
One, because she is a natural talent at cooking. I mean, really, self-trained, coming with all the culture and, growing up there. She's very good at the job, cooking and learning, and she knows what she wants to do. And she knows the ingredients. She knows it. So,
yeah.
And she never gave up, And there were moments where she wanted to, One day at Bouvette, she was outside on the sidewalk, and Rita's really upset. Go see what. Okay, so I run out there to see what happened, and I can't do this anymore. I don't want to do this. This is impossible. I can't do this. So calm down. We go to my apartment, it's around the corner, and sit down. What's up? And I'm looking. I have this white couch. She's sitting on the white couch. And I'm looking, and I see little lines of dark. It looks like chocolate on her ankles and on the back of her neck. And I look at the couch, and it's got this outline in chocolate of Rita Sodi. She fell down the stairs and poured chocolate cake over her head. So you have to go through all these trial and errors. You know, you cut yourself, you get stitches. You know, you have nights where no one's there at dinner. You have nights where people are lined up for dinner. And you find your way through it. And if you love it, she loves it, she gets it and gets better and better at it. I'm really proud of her. And the first day I ate there, I saw it all. And it was exquisite.
Before we get to Via Carota, which you guys opened jointly, so mm-hmm. you had Bouvette, Rita had Isotti. I find those restaurants, there are similarities in terms of the type of food, maybe, and sort of, I know that word simple is overused, but I find those restaurants so different in other ways. Like, I go to Isotti. First, I think what a lot of New Yorkers, I always try to explain, I'm like, oh, it's like an Italian restaurant. You know, it's not Italian American. It's like the kind of the restaurant that you would get in Italy. How do you explain it to people, to Americans?
The Italian restaurant. It's an Italian restaurant. It's just Italian. There is no American Italian. It's just Italian. Actually, it's a Tuscan restaurant.
It's very precise. You go in there from the waiters, both the men and women have their like nice blue Oxford shirts with the button-down collars and the striped rep ties tucked into the shirt, and they've got the white aprons. It seems like I always feel like I need to behave when I'm in there. Like there's a certain order to Isotti that there is not to Bouvette.
Yeah, because you're having dinner in my dining room.
I know. I get a little intimidated
if I
see you.
Yeah, it's like you come in my house.
And I worry I'm going to talk too loud and Rita's going to come over and shush me or something maybe.
Yeah, well, you know, if you're very loud, I will come up and say something anyway if I'm there.
Is that a fair assessment? Am I being fair, Jody?
No, you've got it. I even feel that way. What, you know, I love going in there in the afternoon when, you know, it's only open for dinner, but the whole restaurant will smell like ragu or whatever she's making, sugo de carne, and it's really peaceful, and they make everything that day for that night, and that's how it was when I worked in Italy. So, but I think this is her personality. We have so many similarities, but we're completely different characters and different personalities. Oh my God, is right.
Yeah, sometimes we can a bit more different than we are.
So, and I would just say that I probably have spent more money at your three restaurants than any restaurant group in New York City, I imagine.
Thank you so much.
Or at least the last 5 or 10 years. But so with Bouvette, on the other hand, whereas there is an orderly but stylish character to Isotti, Bouvette strikes me as a much more whimsical, there's almost a set design quality to Bouvette. Like every single little detail and layer is, it feels like it's been sourced and gotten at this vintage place. And it felt like the midday it opened, it had been there for 40 years.
Well, you know, I think that's because it's Bouvette's small and a lot goes on in there, right? It's not a restaurant. It's a bar with food, you know, and that was
the
intention.
But Isotti's small, but it's relatively spare compared to Bouvette.
Well, it's very sparse. It's very minimalist. And I think that, you know, that's the Rita's personality and aesthetic. But a lot goes on at Bouvette. My Bouvette is open like 18 hours a day from, you know, 7 a.m. to 2 a.m. So everything you see in there somehow functions. It provides a function, is used, will be, you know, the samovar gets put away later on, then it comes out for vin brûlé, so it sits up there and looks cute. Or, you know, those are tureens are stacked there, and then we pull them down and we make, you know, 50 pounds of tureens. So it's made to sort of function, all that stuff in there.
Breakfast is very popular there, and whenever you're in there, the people behind the bar, and they're never not hustling. They are constantly in motion, making your breakfast and serving and pouring, and it's like, it's bustling. It really is, it feels like it's always bustling.
It's busy, and the design, everything's used, every space. So if I'm there, and you know, I started cooking on an electric stove from like PC Richards. And I couldn't afford like nice hollowware or hotel silver. I mean, when I found out like $200 for a teapot, I had to go out and get vintage stuff. So I was, and I had a lot of junk in my house too, you know. So I just used what I had and went out and found what I could afford to start with. And that's the origin of it. And people appreciate it and, you know, they dug it. So, and it was working.
But so that was the first restaurant that you opened.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you, and obviously things, I don't know exactly what happened with at your stay at Mirandy. You were there not, how long were you there for?
I don't know, a year and a half.
Yeah, so not that long.
Maybe not that long.
So obviously we'll just leave that it is. But what did you take anything away working for a Keith McNally restaurant in terms of when you opened your own restaurant?
Sort of admire how he makes a big restaurant, runs a big restaurant, and makes it work. It was my first experience with dealing with big volume. And I went there to learn how to do 400, 500 covers.
Wow.
And
you said, I'm going to go open a 12-seat restaurant instead?
Well, that's what I could afford to do. I mean, yeah. Rita and I, we do everything ourselves. You know, we're not a big group. So that's where I started. And then soon as, and she started small, then we opened up Via Corota, which is much bigger. So, yeah, I learned a lot about operations from him. Design-wise, I think most of the things for me came through living in Europe. You know, just being at Piazza San Marcos, where the waiters come out with the tray, and you get those spremuta de arancia and a glass of ice on the side, or you're in Piazza di Popolo and you're at the Vineria. So all these experience of working in Italy, just, you know, like a sponge, somehow they come out. And
But you were smart enough to take note, and you observed all those little things of the glassware and the little coasters and the trays and the little knives and forks and the little plates and all those things that, again, you feel like, oh, that's just there because it's there, but obviously everything is thought of.
No, I love restaurants. I love and hate restaurants, actually, but I'm so interested about sitting down, eating, and cooking, and so it just, you know, it comes to you, right? Sort of like what's Diana Vreeland say, the eye must travel, best thing to do if you're a chef.
Whose idea was the making the scrambled eggs with the espresso steamed milk wand?
Oh, I think I figured that one out.
Well, where did that come from?
Because when I opened Bouvette, it was this idea, a bar with food. And having worked in Italy, I was there like 6 years. I saw a lot of bars in Venice, Cicchetti, even mom and pop, roll up your sleeve and doing it, right? Here, I'll pour your wine. So I was inspired, and I knew that system, and I knew restaurant system. So when I was behind the bar, I needed to make a menu, and I'm a chef. I want to make, you know, oxtail ragu, but I don't have the equipment. So I'd make it on my little stove, put it on a piece of toast, and steam. I could steam soups. I could steam eggs. What can I use? What can I steam there? Panini press. What can I put in the panini press? What can you put in a waffle iron? So I was using all this tabletop equipment, whatever I had, to put a menu together. And with the vision of making something to go with a glass of wine, making something to go with a cup of coffee, and capture that function and European feel that I really dug, you know, living in Europe.
Rito, what do you like most? What do you enjoy most about when you go to Bouvette, and what drives you crazy?
Enjoy more or less everything. Like, you know, enjoy the food, enjoy the way. I think it's genius in the way she ran Bouvette and how she put everything together. And I think it's incredible, and it's functional. It's not heavy like a big kitchen. It's light, and it's fantastic. Drive me crazy, squeezing. Every time, you know, like a squeeze in, it's going to drive me a little bit crazy, but,
you say excuse me a lot when you go to Bouvette. You're always kind of squeezing by someone or bumping into someone.
Well, the key is to go there with somebody you want to squeeze in with.
Yeah, that's right. True, too. But normally I go by myself. You're never with me when I'm in Bouvette. So.
No, that's right. And if I'm with you, I'm looking, I got to get up and go do something.
I'm always if we go together, she leave me there and she goes somewhere else. So.
All right, so you decide, and Via Corota opened 2014, is that correct?
Yeah, maybe? I think 2014. I don't know.
Was about it, a block right? or so, maybe.
I was opening Paris, and you went over and signed the lease. So
yeah, but opened after 2 years.
2014, so. Yeah.
No.
Because it's 5 years. It's in 2019 right now.
Oh, yeah. Okay. 2014. Okay.
Yeah.
You decide to open a restaurant together. You obviously have a lot of similarities and a lot of shared passions, but you also have differences in terms of how you run a restaurant, how you build out a restaurant. How did you get on the same page in terms of opening a place together, in terms of being orderly and minimal and spare like Isotti, or more bustling and tight and a lot of tchotchkes and stuff like Bouvette?
Well, I think, you know, and you should answer this. We knew that the restaurant we would do together would be an homage to Rita's home in Via Carota.
Yeah.
Via Carota is a street named after an architect that, you know, translate Carrot Street.
If Jody was living with me in Via Carota in Italy, that would be how it looks like Via Carota now in Grove Street.
So that there was a pretty clear, like, that's like the mission, and we both agree on
right.
that.
So, yeah. Like a lot of most things we do, we want to create a place and a menu that we're missing, and we want to create an experience that we're missing. And so we were missing, you know, that was a beautiful place.
Probably three times as big as either of the other restaurants in terms of seats.
Yeah, three times.
Yeah,
two times.
Okay.
We jumped at it. We were very, the challenge, we were really excited about the challenge to let's do it. And we knew what the sort of the idea, the vision was. And we knew that what, I mean, you drive up to her place on Via, her place sounds like an apartment. It's like a villa on Via Carota. Pheasants fly over the road, over your car every time. Rabbits run alongside the road. Olive trees, lemon bushes or trees and, you know, hedges, and it's gorgeous. A frantoio on the property. So it was a magic place.
So how did you bring that back to New York? And what was Rita coming from there and growing up there? What was the thing that you felt needed to be the essence of the restaurant in order to transport the diner in that sense?
Color. All the wood and the yeah, it's the nature and the season and life and, you know, atmosphere, feeling, you know, quiet, but at the same time, not really quiet.
Well, for example, there's when you it's you say color, which is what she means when she says color, she's actually saying the lack of color. Like, we don't go through a branding process where we pick colors and this or that. We don't use color. Everything's wood or natural or marble or stone or glass. And the color are the foods and the wine that come in seasonally. And so important at Via Carota, and it's a very conscientious choice, that the colors are pumpkins or they're apples from Westwood Farms. Or, you know, that will be the color of it. But there's a choice that there's no color.
It has the same palette than Via Carota, original Via Carota.
And that's what the...
Yeah.
What was it while you were opening the restaurant up through the opening? What was the hardest thing to get right, Rita? Do you think like, no, it doesn't really feel right? Or like, when did you know that, oh, okay, now we got it?
No, we have the elements to start that, like, you know, like all the piece of furniture that is coming from the house and the. And the chair, they were the same.
Whose idea was a chair to have like the little slot in the back where you put the
menus? They were
the
chair I had in the house in Via Carota.
Really?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's
literally
it.
That chair.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I had not how many we have now, but that's what the one around at the table on Via Carota, the region of Via Carota.
They're English chapel chairs. That's why that pocket. That's where a hymnal would go.
Okay.
And they're from schools. So
did you have them made or did you buy?
No. She had eight in around the table, yeah. Which are in our apartment on in the village. Yeah, the original chairs we have at home, but. We sourced 85, antique chairs out of London. I think they came from All Saints School or someplace.
But yeah. How? Who found them? How?
We research everything. I mean, it's like...
I remember we wanted the phone and this woman, she was cooking. I don't know. She was like, wait a second, come back and everything. Anyway, we got the chair from England.
It's unbelievable. That we think, how can we get this? How do we do this? I mean, and with Bar Pizzolino right now, crazy. When we go... through this process of setting up. So we found 85 chapel chairs.
Yeah.
Beechwood chapel chairs that each one had to be sanded and cared for and waxed.
Oh my God. So.
And unloaded from a truck.
Because it feels like, everything in there from the chairs to the wood floor to the brick walls, like the pewter or the sort of patinated silver, there's an age to it. There's a natural sort of, I guess, synergy between all these elements. I feel, though, restaurants also have a sort of a maturation process. And there is a, as you guys obviously know, a very notable piece in New Yorker recently about how Via Carota has sort of become like the perfect New York City restaurant.
Ouch.
Yes. but I don't... It Via Carota to me feels like a different restaurant now than that like first month or so to it opened. It feels like it has grown into itself, and I can't really put on my finger on how or why that happened. Do you guys have insight into that?
Oh, for me, it takes a long time for a restaurant to settle down and have confidence in the food, and you go through staff changing and changes, and you have swells of customers and you settle on your sourcing. I mean, so it takes us a long time to really grow into our restaurants, I think, more so than other
what
people.
You want to say, and it's difficult to have all the new crew, and the new crew has to understand what you want to do there, how you want them to do things, to deal with the customer and everything. So it was very, very difficult to make sure that everybody understand and teach. And now it's people that are with us for 4 years already. So they are like our guide, and the new people, they stay with them and they learn and everything. So it's much more home mm-hmm. for everybody now. So you go there, you feel like you've been there forever.
Was there a moment or an event where you said to yourself, like, oh, okay, now we got it. Like, now it's the way it's supposed to be.
We need a certain amount of time from the day you open the door for us, I think, to get confidence and to say, okay, that's working. That I feel good. I like that. Whether it's a plate hanging on the wall, step back. Does that look right? How does that make me feel? Or it's the sfizzerina, the hand-chopped steak. I mean, will people get it? Will they like it? You know, do they like us? Are they eating it? Do they want to come back?
Can we talk about that dish?
Yeah.
That's a much written about dish, and I think deservedly so. It's kind of like, I guess, an Italian hamburger, obviously. Kind of it's funny because when people talk about the best burgers in New York, that isn't mentioned because I don't think they think of it as a burger, but it should be mentioned. So what was the development of that dish?
Well, I think it should be mentioned in a steak category. Because it's hand-chopped steak.
Yeah.
Like the French call it, what do they call it, haché flambé, right?
Mm.
No?
But this is America.
Yeah, okay.
We call
them
hamburgers.
Okay, hamburgers. Okay, but it's chopped steak, right? And then...
You sound like an A1 commercial.
Am I A1? What's A1?
You know, like, what is chopped ham? No, it's chopped steak. A1 steak sauce. That was a commercial back in the 70s. You're old enough to remember that.
No, I thought A1. I was thinking car rental service.
No, A1.
Wait, A1.
Rita's, what is the development of that recipe? What was your memory of it?
Oh, no, this is off of Rita's table.
We were talking
her mother made this.
About the meat and everything. And one day I say, I used to love Svizzerina. And Jody looked at me like, what are you talking about? So I had to explain all the stuff of this Svizzerina and everything that we don't know why it's called Svizzerina. Nobody knows. And now really young people, they don't even know. But if you Google, something's mm-hmm. coming up. And so that was a thing that your mother won't do for you when you're a child and you really didn't want to eat meat. And so she would say, oh, I'm going to make it Svizzerina.
What cut of beef do you use?
Oh, this is New York strip.
New York strip.
So it's literally a New York strip that's hand chopped, and the fat, the big round of fat on it, chop it and I put it back in the steak.
All right. And then you sear it?
It has to be seared.
On what?
We use a flat top.
Okay.
We sear it on a flat top, and it has to stay very rare inside.
Yeah. So both sides get nice and kind of crispy.
Even, and then nice and rare inside, and then olive oil, nice crust of salt and pepper.
Mm.
So it's like steak tartare in the middle.
And there's some garlic on, like whole cloves?
Garlic confit and some crisp fried rosemary.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
You know?
Mm.
But this is the menu is Rita Sodi and her childhood and the dishes I ate when I was there with her.
Some of them is Joey.
My favorite, the fried rabbit with the fried bread. Yeah. I love that.
And my favorite is the green salad.
Can we talk about the green salad? Because that's literally in the offices of Bon Appetit. That is an often referenced dish, like the green salad at Via Carota. Because if you're dining there, you see it going by, and you're like, what is that towering? It's like a salad green beehive hairdo that's just like, how can it be that much greens on one plate? And so it's like an excess of greenage. Where did that dish come from, and what was the philosophy behind that one?
Oh, that's its a Jody dish.
Well, you know, the quest for the ultimate green salad. I mean, the Spitzerina is, like, for me, the ultimate chopped steak. So, I mean, Via Carota, we eat there once a day, twice a day. And we have customers who eat there two or three times a week. And that's the kind of menu we're striving for, that you had the freedom that you could pick and choose, right? There's no sides. There's no contorni. You can have vegetables. You do what you want.
It's a fun fun menu to order from because it is very mix and match. You can get a bunch of sort of vegetable sides, but all the little contorni aren't vegetable only. So you can have like the beans with the sausage in there. Maybe you want to get a little mozzarella and prosciutto, or maybe you want a pasta. You can sort of design your own meal. It's not appetizer, entree, dessert.
Because haven't you ever been to a restaurant when you read the menu and all you want to do is eat their sides,
yes.
And you don't want to go through that tilapia, is that what it's called?
Tilapia.
Tilapia or that, hanger steak.
Yeah.
Just give me all your sides. So, you know, my love-hate relationship with restaurants. But back to the green salad, the most perfect green salad there could be, you know, channeling a little bit of Alice Waters. And that's it. And the vinaigrette.
You make it sound so simple. Like, that's it. So, all right, what greens?
One, they have to be green. So there's no radicchio, and you got to get what you got to get what you get. You know. So right now there's some beautiful watercress. We add endive, and we'll go through, a lot of bib lettuce, little gem lettuce.
So those are the two. Like that, that's like the.
And it's got to be the heart. It can't. You know, we're crazy about cleaning.
Get all those
salad.
Flimsy
no
outer
frisee, so you get to, you know, so we have our mix, and so that changes now and then, and we have our vinaigrette.
What's a vinaigrette?
It's a shallot thyme vinaigrette with aged sherry vinegar. But there's, you know, we both Rita and I in our palate, we handle acid in a very unique way.
Meaning
we literally water it down.
Oh.
Because if you put vinegar in your mouth, you're going to wince. And things that go in your mouth, we don't want you to wince. So we always add a little bit of water to lemon juice or to vinegar that it's...
Yeah, you have to be able always to taste the food, not just the vinegar.
Yeah, it just makes it more palatable.
So then how do you, which is always a challenge, I think, for a lot of home cooks, where some of us get it wrong, is how you then toss the greens without beating up the greens or overdressing or underdressing. What do you do?
Well, let's see. So we're using really nice leafy. We're not chopping the salad. These are beautiful picked leaves, hearts, crunchy parts. So a big bowl. Don't get a small bowl. So you need a bigger bowl than you think. And then just sprinkle it over, spoon it over.
Did you salt the greens first?
No, I don't know. Twice, sometimes. I never
no,
do anything
we don't.
Twice
yeah,
the same.
Yeah,
Rita does it.
Yeah,
what do you
all
do?
The time. No, we don't.
You salt it at the end?
Yeah, at the end.
We salt it in the end. And we don't use pepper on our green salad.
Yeah.
We don't put pepper in our, there's no pepper in it at all.
No.
Okay, so then before we get to the lightning round question, guys, Bar Pisolino, which is... also across the street right there on Grove also.
Right.
The concept of that Italian wine bar, is it that simple or what am I missing?
The Italian bar.
Italian
bar.
No, this is about the arte
del bere.
The art of drinking everything that's Italian.
All right, I'm going to break it to you. The Italians don't know how to drink. They will have like one drink and then like eight little snack plates, and they'll nurse that one drink for like hour and a half while they eat the free potato chips and olives and everything else.
What a better way to drink the salatini.
But you need to make money, though. You need to sell drinks.
Well, we're going to sell drinks. Yeah, no, I mean, but this is the thing. The idea is that, again, we want to create that kind of place that we're missing where you stand up. It's al banco. You stand at the bar. You leave your coat on, or if you could hang your coat up, and you have your morning espresso. I mean, you think of all the beautiful things that Italian culture offers to drink. The whole world of espressos.
What I love
the whole
about,
world of aperitifs,
like going to
long cocktails,
and I love
wines.
That going to Milan, where I used to go for work a lot, is that you go to the espresso bars, A, yeah, everyone's standing.
Marchese.
B, there are no paper cups. Like, if you order an espresso, you get a proper cup, and they put it down in front of you, and you throw it back, and you say thank you, and you put your money down, and that's that.
Like, love it. Yeah. Love it.
And all the, I'm sure, like, with Bouvet, all the little, the glasses are correct, the sizes are correct.
Yeah. And there's no sizes. It's a cappuccino. There's not a large or small cappuccino. So and the interaction is great. So that's what Bar Pizzolino is, we're setting off to do.
So day, morning, it'll be sort of coffee, cafe. Yeah. Evening, it'll segue into cocktails and snacks.
Right. And, yeah. You know, be part of the neighborhood. You drop in, you can have a little tramezzino.
Yeah.
Along with
Budino.
Budino. Rita gets to make all her.
Yeah. It's a classic, you know, every
okay,
bar.
My concern with this Pizzolino place, as a neighborhood guy, I'm worried, like, oh my God, like, the day it opens, it's going to be so crowded, and I won't be able to, like, get up to the bar. How do you sort of maintain that? Because in Milan or somewhere else in Italy, these types of places are more common, and you kind of come, you go. In New York, when something like this opens, everyone writes about it. Everyone has to be there. Mm. Do you sort of survive that initial crush and then, like, go back to business as usual?
I don't think people pay that much attention.
Are you crazy? Have you heard of the internet?
No.
Rita's like, generally, like, I've never been on a computer before.
We're on the phone. We're online all the time. Yeah,
but not for.
I don't.
For
you know what? We don't think that. I mean, we'll keep it controlled for a while. We need a lot of time to figure it out. Tell you the truth, to get it just right.
I'm not going to come for at least the first month.
Well, the first month you're going to want to come, because we're going to keep it closed just for you.
Oh, okay. Just
you're going to come out, get behind the bar and make a Negroni.
That's the easiest drink to make. 111, right?
111.
Yeah. All right. So you got Pizzolino happening. You also have Bouvet's in Tokyo and Paris.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like this is enough for now. Is there anything else on the horizon we need to know about?
Mm.
Yeah. Are you doing another book?
We're doing books.
We're doing books.
Books, not just, like, multiples?
Yeah.
Rita Sodi's doing a book.
What?
We do Isodi and we do Via Carota.
And Via Carota is going to do a book.
And the Isodi book comes out first?
Should be, yeah.
Should be.
Yeah.
Like next year or something?
Maybe.
I think we're like
end of 2020.
I feel like I could just keep on asking you all sorts of questions, but Emma's giving me the little signal. We got to keep this thing moving. So, we're going to do our lightning round where we do either or questions.
Mm.
Okay. You got to answer. You can't pass. You can't say both. Scrambled or fried?
Fried.
In olive oil or in butter?
Olive oil.
Sunny side up or over easy?
Sunny side up.
Scrambled, brulee, wet, butter.
When you say brulee, what does that mean in terms of, like, But is that, how's that spelled? It's not like brulee, like creme. It's like brouille, whatever.
Yeah,
that
like
one.
A very brou.
Custardy.
Yeah, custardy, sort of like done stirred like a risotto.
Yeah. When you make that, which I always love it, that's how do you do it if you're doing it at home? Like, what sort of pan and what sort of utensil?
Oh, I use a little saute pan, high edges, and I got 3 inches of eggs that I'm stirring.
Oh.
I don't spread them out. I mean, you could do it, but you have to do it really quick. But the idea is you want your eggs medium rare.
Yeah. And then what sort of, are you using, like, a rubber spatula or a wooden spoon or?
Probably rubber spatula.
Yeah.
You know.
Butter.
Or wooden spoon if I'm in a pan, if I got to do it fast.
So I never thought about that. So doing like a higher, so it's deeper instead of wider. So a little sauce pot.
Yeah, that's
interesting. All right. I'm going to try that.
And you're throwing butter, little pieces of butter in it.
Little darts of butter.
I don't cook with butter.
Oh, God. Rita, you get one but not both the rest of your life. Prosciutto or mortadella?
Mortadella.
How do you like it? Just like piece by piece, or do you like to do little mortadella sandwiches?
I love mortadella with Tuscan bread, fresh Tuscan bread, that doesn't have salt or everything, so you taste everything can come out from the mortadella, but with bread.
You know what's weird about you Italians? You do those little cubes of mortadella in Italy, at parties. That just freaks me out. Like, it's like a six-sided die that's just a mortadella chunk.
There's a mortadella that's made with black truffle. We were in London, and basement of Harrods found it.
What's your answer?
Oh, I go with prosciutto.
Nice.
I mean, if I'm stuck and I only have to prosciutto for the rest of my life.
The thing about prosciutto, which I've had, it's got to be sliced super thin. That's my opinion, personally.
Unless it's done by hand,
I feel like that's more like the Spanish ham, like Iberico, where you get those little like chips of like sort
yeah,
of thing.
I like that one.
That's good also. Rita, Prada or Gucci?
I have to choose.
Yeah, you have to choose. That's the lightning round.
Okay. I would say Prada 1995.
I would say you strike me as much more Miuccia Prada than Gucci.
Gucci, but I don't like what they're doing now, so.
Oh my god. Yeah. See, you should talk to my wife. She has a problem with liking it too much.
Okay.
Alessandro Michele, that's the designer, correct? Yeah.
I love
his style was not your style.
Yeah. I love the old one, 1995,
97. Back in the day. Yeah. Are you going to say neither, Jody? No, or?
Am I a Prada or Gucci? Yeah. Am I a Prada? Well, you know, I'm sort of a Filson.
Yeah, I'm about to say, can I just say Filson? We'll give you Filson.
You know, you have a very interesting Gucci shoes.
Yes, I have Gucci shoes, right? Yeah.
What kind?
Oh.
Gucci loafers.
Come on.
What?
Say it.
Men's
say it.
Gucci loafers, black with the buckle.
The horse bit.
But
you have also the other one.
What are the other ones? You got to share it now. You can't not say it.
I have a pair of Gucci loafers done in linen or
canvas.
Canvas.
Yeah.
With Gucci logo
all over
the Gucci all over it.
Do you ever wear them?
No, I have never worn them.
No, did you buy them for her?
No. They just, I guess, fell out of the closet, but busted.
We were laughing about them the other day.
Okay, Negroni or Spritz?
Negroni.
Negroni.
Wow. Sorry for asking.
No, I like the Spritz. You know, Spritz are great.
Nice in the summertime.
You could work in Spritz.
Yeah.
But
for lunch.
The problem with Negroni, like, you can go down a steep road pretty quickly with those.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, this is a tough one. I think it's tough. Cacio e pepe or pasta carbonara?
Carbonara.
What's the trick to a good carbonara, making it wise?
Light.
But what does that mean?
You know, like, it doesn't have to be heavy, doesn't have to be have too much sauce.
As a home cook, how do I accomplish that?
Don't put too much cream or the stuff. Just use minimal.
She keeps it close to the vest.
Yeah,
one.
She's not, you know.
You know what I love is, what's the Via Carota pasta you have with, like, it's like a creamy pancetta sort of. It's not a carbonara. You don't call it on the menu.
Oh, it's just butter parmesan.
Yeah.
That's the winter deal.
What's that one called?
It's a lot of nutmeg.
Love that one.
Tagliatelle prosciutto.
Yeah. Oh, so good. And the prosciutto is kind of, do you crisp the prosciutto at all?
No, it's just sliced at the last minute and dropped on top, and the heat of the pasta should melt the fat, and it should
and the
just
nutmeg
add it
is,
together.
The nutmeg is like the secret.
It's a secret.
What is that?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh.
But use a lot of nutmeg. So, I mean, I think as much as you think.
I think you use more butter than nutmeg.
Yeah, there's butter and cheese, but I mean, that would be family meal for me in Reggio Emilia. Be tagliatelle, butter, and parmesan.
Yeah, that's a classic,
so
you know.
Yeah.
Get that every time. A week in Paris or a week in Tuscany?
Tuscany.
Oh my god, I'm so bad. My mind just splits in two, and I'm figuring out what I get to eat if I'm in either location.
Someone didn't hesitate. Someone is hesitating.
No, you have to. You know, to say the right thing.
Maybe you're not going to go on vacation together. Apparently,
yeah, we will not.
Well, a week in Tuscany would be, you know, beautiful and relaxing any season, and a week in Paris is really a lot of fun. I mean, constant dining, constant out, constant activity. I'm going to go with Paris.
Okay, so we will be.
Couple more quick ones. Marble or wood?
I would say wood.
Ooh, I'm going with marble because it will last, I think, longer than wood.
I like how wood aged.
Okay. We actually always disagree.
I'm getting that. Denim or leather?
Denim. I was a master in denim. So
were you?
Yeah, I was my last.
Your fashion life.
Mm. Yeah.
Denim.
Nice.
I mean, we're lesbians, so it's going to be double denim. I'm going to say double denim.
All right, final question. I already know Rita's answer, but butter or olive oil?
Oh, my God. Go ahead.
Oh, butter. And I'm going to eat it on a with a fork out of the thing.
Olive oil.
Salted butter. Cultured salted butter. And I love olive oil, too. You know, I love fats.
All right, guys. We all agree to disagree on this one. Rita Sodhi, Jody Williams, thanks so much.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you.
The Bon Appetit Foodcast is produced by Carrie Polis and Christina Che and produced and edited by Emma Wortsman. Our theme music is by Nathaniel Wortsman. We have new episodes every Wednesday, and if you want to tell us about this or any other episode, email us at bonappetitfoodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.